Chapter 15, I want you to go with me to verse 21. Oh, we put a 13 in. Oh, just kidding. All right, remind me of your name. Manny. I remember that now. Yeah. Manny, and what's your name?
JJ.
How you spell that?
Two J's.
Two J's, huh? All right, we'll just call you 2J. All right. Matthew 15, it's in the New Testament. All right. Chapter 15, look for a verse that has a 2 and a 1 in it, in that order. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now that's not two shops where they sold tires and siding for a house. These are towns. That was a joke. It's all right to laugh. It's still right, preacher. I mean, Brother Surrett was here yesterday. We were all serious yesterday. I'm here. We're not going to be serious tonight, except for preaching. Jesus went thence, departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you pray with me? Father, with all my heart tonight, I want to preach your word with power and in the manner that you would have it preached. I look out and I see familiar faces here tonight, and I think about them, and they've come from work, and they've come from the house, and they've had busy days and colder weather and such, and all these things could be a negative, but they're here. So tonight I pray that you'll reward their heart from your word, and that they'll be strengthened and encouraged as we speak of this woman and her great faith. And Father, tonight I pray that you will help me to deliver the message, help your people as they hear. And then, Holy Spirit of God, would you please convict our hearts for where we're wrong and help us to be right. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is an interesting passage of Scripture, for Christ will speak to this woman who by all rights shouldn't even be alive. Thousands of years before, her people should have been terminated completely according to the will of God. But yet she and her tribe are still there. Christ is going to go a great distance to bring her what she needs. And in this place, as I look here in Matthew chapter 15, and it says in verse number 28, Christ uses this phrase, O woman, great is thy faith. We use that word great a lot. Supper was great. The time we had was great. But when you think about how God uses the word great, what did he say after the first day of creation, Manny? Why are you asking me questions? They brought you in here to speak to me. What did he say? In the evening and the morning, first day, second day, he created. And he looked at all creation and said, that's good. But yet here, he says about this woman that her faith was great. That's quite a statement. When God, who looks at all of the world and everything that he created, and all he has to say is, that's good. And now looks at a woman who by all rights shouldn't even be alive, and her tribe of people outside the border of Israel, living north of there, and she is making her way to go find him, and he looks at her, and after persisting with him to say, I want you to heal my daughter, he says to her, you have great faith. You ever meet anybody with great faith? You feel like your faith is so, like, you know, they pray, they move mountains. I pray and I can't even find a parking space. You ever feel that way where somebody has incredible faith and you feel like I got not so great faith? And here Christ is saying to this woman, she had great faith. Well, then as I began to read and understand what Christ was saying in this passage, it made me keenly aware that there are characteristics of having great faith. That is, the faith is the capacity to trust God and take him at his word. We don't do that well. We're more sight people than faith people. And so he's looking for us to say, we walk by faith, not by sight. But yet oftentimes we live by sight. And yet this woman had some unique characteristics about her that Christ then used this word great to say, O woman, great is thy faith. I don't know how you view your own faith, but there are sometimes for me, I feel like, oh, I wish I could trust God more like they trust God. And you say, well, you're a preacher. I'm human just like you are. There is no specialty to this thing. We all have to come to a place of confidence in God that God will do what he says he's going to do. And faith is that ability to say, God, give me that capacity to trust you. I want you to see with me tonight about five or six things I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that make me understand what it is to have great faith. Look at 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now, it's important to recognize she is coming out of her land and he is headed to the border of her land. She's coming to him. He is going to her. Next thing I want you to see. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Now watch this. She's a Canaanite woman. Yet she, in her secular, or if you will, mixed religious background, from a people that were following the Canaanite gods, she says to him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Notice the wording that she's using. She recognizes the lineage of the right of Christ to the throne. She had complete understanding of who he was. She saw him as the Son of God. She saw him as the rightful heir to the throne. She recognized him in his Jewishness. She recognized him who he was in his capacity to be God. And then says this, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. What does that mean? Well, she was tormented. The first thing I want you to identify with me tonight, if you're marking things down, maybe five things I'll give you this evening. The first one is this: great faith seeks God in adversity. When tough times come, it is those whose faith can be qualified as great who are able to say, when tough times come, I'll go find God. Think about the tough times that came to her life. Number one, you look at her daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. The gods of her people's religion could not help her. She had to go find where help could be found. She went and pursued who Christ was and said, there's no help in the homeland. There's no help amongst my home religion. There is no help for me anywhere to be found. I must go to where I can get help. Oh, if we could just learn this one truth, just one facet of having great faith, it would be this, that we go find God when adversity comes. Now, mind you, the distance Christ is having to travel dozens of miles to get to her. And as Christ is making his way to her, she is making her way to go find him. She didn't know where he was in Israel, but she knew there was help if she could just get to him. Would to God we would learn the same truth for our lives as well, that when tough times come, that we go seek God in adversity. But imagine the joy that she found as she began to make her way out of the coast of her homeland, and Christ begins to make his way toward the coast of her homeland. She's worried, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Christ knew that. And long before she left the house, he left the house. The truth that we have to embrace and the things that we have to remember is this, that when tough times come our way, we have to realize we have to make our way to God, that we seek God in adversity. How often do we seek a bottle of pills? How often do we seek our friends? How often do we seek help outside of our faith? We're saying, okay, I don't know where I'm going to turn. The truth is that when you and I recognize who we are, we have to pursue God with intensity. There was no help for her anywhere. Isn't it a good place to be that the best help you have is Jesus? And there she was. I'm worried about my daughter. Well, maybe a mama understands this the best. When your kid is sick, you'll go to the ends of the earth, if you will, to get your kid what your kid needs. And that's what she was doing. I've got to find help. Imagine, she's got a daughter. There's got to be a man involved somewhere. Where are you going? I'm going to go find Jesus. Well, don't we have religious teachers in our area? Yes, but they can't help him. There is no help found anywhere else better than Jesus. And you and I have to live our lives with that motto in our head to say, I must find Christ. That's the first indicator of what her great faith was. She sought God in adversity. Notice the next thing I see in this passage of Scripture. You ready for your next question, Manny? Or should we go to 2J? Go to 2J. Here we go. You ready? Oh, you're driving the struggle bus. I can see it already. Verse 23. Watch these words. These first seven words in verse 23 makes a complete sentence. But he answered her not a word. You say, oh, didn't Jesus hear her? Oh, he heard. Why didn't he answer her? You ever go to the jewelry store and you ask the jeweler, could you show me this? And with great effort, the jeweler, first of all, will move things off the counter. And then they go and they find their felt. And they put that piece of black felt down. And then they reach inside the cabinet and they take their little polishing cloth off. And they wipe that diamond off. One day there'll be a girl and you might do this, so pay attention. And they'll wipe that ring off and they'll... Well, you better be listening. And wipe that off and then they'll set it there and they'll make sure it's just in the right angle of the lights and they'll place it there and brush off that felt and lay that ring down and say, see that? That's exactly what Christ was doing. When he did not answer her a word, he was just reaching back for the black felt, if you would, to put it out there and get it into the light so he could show you, I am going to show you what great faith is. I want you to realize this great faith did not come from the disciples. It did not come from those that he was assembling for his church. This came from a stranger to Israel, and he used her to demonstrate to his own people. Now that's great faith. Number one, great faith seeks God in adversity. But when I read this first sentence of verse number 21 where it says, or sorry, not 21, but 23, but he answered her not a word. I want you to realize this. Not only does great faith seek God in adversity, but great faith waits on God in adversity. What happens when you don't hear from heaven about your petition? You say, well, I worry. That's what I do. I go make a way for myself. I'll go solve my own problem. If God's not going to answer me, I asked him 5 minutes ago, and he hasn't answered my request, I'll go make my own solution. Sound familiar? Is it any different than creating a Hagar moment where Sarai and Hagar try to help God with an answer to a prayer request? Say, God isn't moving fast enough for me. Bible says Jesus answered her not a word. He's right there. He's traveled all this way to see her. And he's not speaking. What do you do when heaven is silent? Brother O'Malley, I start to get nervous. I pace around the house. I try to find some way to calm my nerves. I just don't know what I'm going to do. When heaven is silent, it ought not to decrease our faith, but rather to increase our faith, to say, when heaven's silent, I'll still trust him. Great faith seeks God in adversity. Number two, great faith waits on God in adversity. The Bible says, he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Christ didn't answer her faith. He didn't address her faith. He didn't even acknowledge her faith. He just didn't answer her. So then the disciples see her. Now, there's some cultural, racial things that are going on here. We have Christ, his Jewish tribe, if you will, this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman, if you will, has come out. There's hostilities between the Canaanites and the Israelites, had been from the very beginning. This woman's people had lived throughout the millennia and now is there. And Christ is going to use her to show us what great faith is. And in that moment, he doesn't answer. So what do the disciples do? Get rid of her. Send her away. I just want to say, who else could help her more than Jesus? There's no greater help for anyone. But yet we have people who in our churches today will even say, oh, get rid of them. They're high maintenance. This is the best place for sinners to be. This is the best place for hypocrites to be. We let you in. This is where we're supposed to be. Sending people away. Where are we going to send them? Where else are they going to find the word of life? Where else are they going to help the water find the water of life? Where else are they going to get help for their family? Where else? It is here. And though Christ didn't answer, and now the disciples speak up. Oh, get rid of her. Send her away. Is maybe, just by way of personal illustration, about 15, maybe 17 years ago, I woke up one morning and I lost my hearing in my right ear. And it was peculiar. I mean, it was just, I had my hearing when I went to bed, and when I woke up, I did not have my hearing. And I thought, well, I must be getting sick or whatever. I went through brain scans, and they went through all sorts of testing, and they just said, look, it happens. You can just lose your hearing just like that. I thought, well, okay, what do we do? He said, well, we'll get a hearing aid, one hearing aid. So I went and we got one hearing aid. Put it in, I started to hear again. And then, it was then that I understood something. When people are sitting out there listening to me preaching, all of a sudden they just reach back and kind of like they're stretching. I know what they're doing. They're turning off their hearing aids. Because I learned I could do the same thing. You see what great faith does? Great faith is deaf in adversity. Do you know what deaf means? You can't hear. deaf. If you're going to have great faith, you better not be listening to all the negative comments about the people around you. Your family that doesn't believe in your faith's tradition. Your friends who mock that your commitment to God and coming to church. Those of you who've come out of a religious background that's completely different from Independent Baptist, and you're now here, and your family looking at you saying, are you crazy to leave the family religion and now you're doing this? What on earth are you doing? Great faith is deaf. Just turn the hearing aid off to the negative comments of those around you, because sometimes, I wish it weren't true, but sometimes church can be the worst place to develop someone's faith. Why? Because we have the spiritual iceberg crowd in church. You say, Brother O'Malley, what are you talking about? Spiritual icebergs. Do you know what an iceberg is? Good. What's a spiritual iceberg? Folks who float through the church, do nothing but sit there and chill the temperature down. Don't y'all go pointing now. We have that in church, don't we? Folks who, you have somebody who say, oh, boy, yeah, I've seen them come and seen them go. Don't you get too excited about this new faith thing. I remember when I was pastoring, I had a church member who spoke to me after the service. We had that day a woman come to church, and she was well known in the community, and she came forward, and preacher, she made a profession of faith right there at the altar of the church where I was pastoring. She professed Christ as her Savior, stood up and said, I got saved. I had well-meaning church members say to me on the way out, she'll be back. She's been here before. She'll be here again. She didn't mean what she said. Now, my soul on earth, there's just enough carnality in me that just made me want to squeeze their little head off. But I did not. I showed great restraint. And I said, we accept her at her word today. The church crowd. The one discouraging believers. I think a lot of times it happens when new believers come into the church and start to show you up for your spiritual ineptitude and laziness, and they're excited and on fire for God, makes you feel uncomfortable, so the only thing you know how to do is criticize them. That probably never happens here, but maybe at other churches about which you've heard. Great faith says, I can't hear you. Say, well, you send her away. Get rid of her. We don't need her kind around here. Now, mind you, Jesus hadn't said anything, and she hadn't left. The third element about great faith is it just simply becomes deaf to criticism in adversity. Fourth thing I want you to see, there's only 17 more. The fourth thing I want you to see with me tonight. But he answered her not a word, 23, that's where we left off. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. What a tragedy. Lord, she's asking you stuff, get rid of her. What parent? What parent would say, oh, we got rid of those kids. They were asking for stuff. The kids have always asked for stuff. They got it from their moms and dads. They sought stuff. And the disciples say, I'll get rid of her. As if those men didn't come to Jesus with their own basket full of needs, and he met their needs, and now she, being from a different culture, different people, different faith tradition, now she comes seeking help for Christ. She identifies who Jesus is, Son of God, line of David, nails it and says, I need mercy. And in that moment, the disciples said, I'll get rid of her. Great faith says, I can't hear you when you criticize me. Number four, notice the next verse if you would, please. But he answered and said, now this is the first time Jesus is speaking, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now the first words that are recorded for us of Christ actually speaking to this woman's need says, I'm not here for you, lady. Now what did he mean by that? Of course he was there for her. He traveled all that way just to come and heal her daughter. But he's reminding even his own tribe of disciples, look, I know what my mission is, but this woman has come with great faith to find me. And what is he doing? He's that jeweler. He's dusting off that piece of jewelry that's there, just simply getting ready to showcase they and say, now that's a great ring. And now what does Christ say? Not here, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what does she do? Then came she and worshiped him. I don't know if you see this as I'm seeing it in my mind. She comes out of the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. She's a Canaanite woman. And she said, there's only hope for me, and the only help for me is Jesus. And she's made her way this way. Christ has made his way dozens of miles to get to her. And now she is there. He hasn't answered her. When he does answer her, it seems like he doesn't want to even address her need. And now the next thing she does is teaches me a lesson on what great faith does. Great faith worships God in adversity. You say, what do you mean, worships God? She came to where he was and said, I worship who you are. You are God. I'm worshiping you. What happens to us when our faith is tried? Oh, I've seen it plenty of times. I remember pastoring and starting two churches and hearing it even then. Preacher, I'm sure you've heard it. Preacher, tough times have come. When things ease up, we'll be back. We're dropping out of church for a while because, times are tough. When we get our families straightened out, when we get our lives straightened out, we'll be back to church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the place we need to be when tough times come. When great faith comes, we ought to be in our places worshiping God. Our dear sister, I by no means would I exploit your loss for any illustration's sake. But the first testimony Pastor shared with me was, you were here. I am so sorry for your loss. I have no way to understand or fathom what the loss of a spouse would be. I watched my mother for the last 27 years live without her spouse. But I'm going to tell you, the death of a spouse is a high mark of adversity. Where do we go when adversity comes? People with great faith worship God. If the life of Job ought to teach you anything, he hears about the loss of his lands, loss of his houses, loss of the livestock that he had, loss of everything that he had. And then the last messenger comes and says, and oh, by the way, all your kids just died. And what did Job say? I got here naked. I am checking out of here naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is worship in adversity. Great faith says, I'm going to go find God when adversity comes. Great faith says, if heaven's silent, I'm going to still wait on God. Great faith says, if I have to put up with the criticism of the brethren, I'm just going to turn a deaf ear to them. And great faith says, I'm just going to worship God. Right now in this season of my life, I don't know what God is doing, but I'm just going to trust Him and I'm just going to worship Him. I know, Brother King, you're getting married next week. Has anybody ever met this girl, or is this just we hear about her? Okay, fine. We'll just go with your illusion. But let's say you really do get married in a few days. You, sir, have to build your home on Christ. An example to these young believers. An example to your wife and to this church. And while it may seem in the initial days that things are just bright and cheery, happy and wonderful and pleasant, I don't know if you know this or not, or if this is the only marriage counseling you're getting, but I can assure you that somewhere between year zero and 50 years, there may be a challenge or two to face. If she really exists. None of y'all raised your hand and said, I met her, so we're just going with your dream. I can tell you this, sir. You're going to have to build your faith to trust God when adversities come. And don't ever let anything keep you from worshiping God. And Job's day of his greatest loss, even his wife came and said to him, curse God and die. He said, I can't. I worship God. That's what we have to do. Great faith says, I'll worship God in this adversity. When the challenge comes, I'll worship Him. Notice this further, if you would, please. The Bible reads, she came, she worshiped Him. What did she say? Lord, help me. Now watch these words. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You say, well, Jesus was being a little rough on her. No, he's just a jeweler getting ready to show you the finest piece of jewelry that he could offer. You say, what do you mean the finest piece of jewelry that he could offer? He's going to take someone from an unlikely place and an unlikely person in the most unlikely of situations and put her out on the cloth and say, that is great faith. She doesn't stop. She's a mama that wants some help for her daughter who's grievously vexed with the devil. And she said, yeah, but dogs get crumbs. She wanted something. When was the last time we really begged God and believed God? I think we'll criticize the humanist crowd, and rightfully so, but we live a humanist type faith, a humanist type religion, if you will. We say we follow God, but yet we don't depend on Him. We make a way for ourselves. We never consult Him. We never seek His face. And when tough times come, we come up with our own solutions. Great faith says no. If heaven's silent, I'll still believe Him. If disciples criticize, I'll still believe Him. When tough times come, I'll go find Him. And when tough times come, I'll worship Him. And so when Christ hears her tell about the dogs getting crumbs from the master's table, it is then that Jesus replies in 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. All of creation got a good and a very good. And this woman's faith got a great from God. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Number, I guess this would be 5. Great faith believes God's word in adversity. That's what it does. It just believes the word of God. Great faith believes God's word, takes God at his word. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, that's easy enough. She's right there. Jesus is right there. If I could have Jesus right there on my problem, if I could have Jesus' word on my problem, I could have had great faith. Don't we say this is God's word? Don't we say he dwells in our heart? We do have his word on our problem. We do have his answer. This is who he is, and we are to believe him. Great faith takes God at his word. Hebrews 11 teaches me, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I can't please God without faith. No wonder he said, great faith. You, woman, you have great faith. Why? She sought God in adversity. She waited on God in adversity. She did not listen to the comments of those around her in adversity. She worshiped God in adversity. She took God at his word in adversity. When tough times come, what do? He said, well, Brother O'Malley, don't put it on me like that. Well, it is on you. What do you do? He said, well, when tough times come, I call the preacher and I get him. I outsource my prayers to him and I sit back at the house and worry. Doesn't get any plainer than that, does it? He's a good man, but he doesn't have anything on you with God. You're God's child like he is God's child. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, brother, preacher, I mean, Jesus is going to listen to preacher before he listens to me? Nuh-uh. That's the best I could come up with as an answer, nuh-uh. But it's true. Christ wants to hear from you. How many of you have adult children? Chronologically, at least. Okay, yeah. You like to hear from your adult children? Do you? Why? She does. He does. Y'all figure this out. Yeah. Oh, he is your oldest. I was like, wait, man, I'm not getting this at all. But now I'm getting this. Do you ever call your mother? Yes. She likes it when you do. My mom lives with us, with me. And she likes when I stop by her room and say, Mom, how are you today? Did you have a good day? You want to hear from your kids. Now, I know if you're raising littles right now, you're saying, I want to wait from them. I get that. And that's a season. And then you'll get to another season and another season. And you'll say, I sure wish I could hear from them. My wife, our son, he's 30 in next month. It'll be 30. And every once in a while, Kim, my wife, will say, I just want to FaceTime with John. I just want to see him for myself. Not just get a text. And I want to communicate with him. Don't you think God wants to hear from you? When adversity comes, you don't have to outsource your prayers to the preacher. Go to God. Now, a preacher's not going to mind praying for you, but don't you sit back in the house and take on worry while he takes on your prayer job. But get yourself to the place to say, God, I want to have great faith. I'm tired of living with a life that is not so great faith. Give me great faith. Great faith seeks God in adversity. Great faith waits on God in adversity. Great faith turns a deaf ear to critics in adversity. Great faith worships God in adversity. Great faith takes God at his word in adversity. Would you stand with me? Dear Father, tonight I bow before you. I asked you before the service started that you would fill me with your Spirit and help me. Tonight, dear Father, I ask you now at the end of this service that your people will take to heart what your word said. She sought you in adversity. But what a comfort to know you were already seeking her. She stood still when you were silent. She didn't let the criticisms of others affect her faith. She worshiped you in adversity. She took you at her word and her baby was healed. Oh God, teach us tonight. You obviously didn't carry us this far to abandon us. You brought us this far to show you you are God, the master jeweler, wanting to show the faith of your kids. Help us, God, in this moment of invitation. Now I pray, God, that you will speak to the hearts of your people. Folks, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the music beginning to play.